Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Today I'll be chatting to Dr. Kanaan Lidor, senior Middle East correspondent at JNS and award-winning journalist. Always appreciate your time, Kanaan. Thanks for chatting to us on Chai FM.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Kanaan, lots going on, although that's such a trite thing to say because every day something is going on in Israel. Let's talk about the strikes against Gaza, the ceasefire status. What's going on?
Yeah, actually today there's even more going on than usual. For the past 24 hours, we've seen a series of strikes in Lebanon and then more importantly in Gaza. And the reason for the strikes is that Hamas did not meet the terms of the deal that Trump brokered, did not deliver the bodies that it was supposed to, is playing games with Israel, giving the wrong bodies or just blood-stained pieces of clothing. And what's going on is that Hamas realizes that President Donald Trump has a lot riding on this deal. And so it's trying to get away with not meeting its terms, assuming that, you know, Israel isn't going to blow it all up and risk a head-on collision with Trump over something like bodies. But so far, it's being proven wrong by Netanyahu, who, according to all signs, is defying Trump and basically kind of testing the ceasefire, killing terrorists. These are lethal strikes, and actually jeopardizing, in from the perspective of the Americans, jeopardizing this very tenuous ceasefire that Trump needs in order to promote his deals and negotiations with Saudi Arabia and the rest of the Arab world.
So the press reporting that up to 100 casualties in Gaza. Is the ceasefire going to hold?
Well, there's only so much that it can hold until it's no longer a ceasefire. And it's just a very insistent move on Netanyahu's part. You know, we had a deal. If the terms are not met, apparently the thinking of Netanyahu is that there is no deal. But because it's so precious to Trump, he's already presented it. He's already gift wrapped it as one of his maybe the pinnacle of his peacemaking efforts. So there's a lot of pressure in Israel to contain these repeated
breaches,
violations of this deal. But at the same time, there's only so much Netanyahu can give. First of all, I think he is, according to every information we've got, he's very sensitive to the plight of the families of the hostages and the dead ones too. But he also has a coalition to maintain, and Smotrich and Ben-Gvir are going to pull out. They've said so many times, if the terms are not met. They're already not happy with the terms. So if those terms are not delivered, they will topple his government at a certain point. He doesn't have all the leeway in the world. Neither does Trump. It's a game of chicken, and it's really not clear who's going to blink first.
Let's move on to the other story of this afternoon, that being the 39th World Zionist Congress being held in Israel. We have spoken to a South African delegate who spoke about the electioneering and the jockeying for position between the Likud and Labour and you name it. What's your take on this event?
Well, yeah, democracy is in the air in Jerusalem, and it's quite moving to see. I was there, you know, at a certain point, Aretzeinu, which is the liberal wing, the main liberal movement in the United States being represented. Now, they stage a flash mob protest against the war in Gaza. And I happened to see a Chabad rabbi, Rabbi David Eliezeri, you know, watching quietly and in a friendly manner, saying, you know, I don't believe that we should make peace with someone who wants to kill you. And so there was all this very polite debate going on that we don't have here in Israel because everything is so polarized. But diaspora Jewry is coming along and they're containing each other and they're coming into a rare dialogue, really showing us the path. It's beautiful to watch. And yeah, behind that, there's a lot of political jostling because there's a $1 billion budget to allocate, and because this is the main vehicle of diaspora Jewry to actually have a voice here in Israel. So there's a lot at stake. And at the same time, there's also a realignment, a political realignment within the World Zionist Organizations, the organization, because in the United States, the conservative bloc has in 2025 this year, for the first time, achieved a majority in the U.S. delegation, which, by the way, controls a third of all delegates.
That's interesting.
So because, and this is because the Haredis kind of came out of their shell. From their perspective, they saw the liberal wing using the World Zionist Organization to promote their agenda in Israel, which is all fair, but they were out of the game. And so Eretz HaKodesh and Am Yisrael Chai, two factions, Haredi factions in the UK and US predominantly, they used the discipline of their public, really, of their constituents. They said, go vote. And they totally, upturned the whole political system. So right now, the dust is settling on that. There are resolutions on principle matters like...
This is terrible what you're saying. This is terrible what you're saying. You're telling me actually that non-Zionists are going to have a disproportionate say on the Zionist movement.
Ah, but are they non-Zionists? And who are we to judge whether they're Zionists or not? Because they're saying, yeah, we're Zionists in a different way. We are the ones who are coming to visit. We are the ones who are buying property in Israel. And yeah, maybe our sons don't serve in the army, but many of those liberal and reform communities, they're out protesting against the state of Israel. So who are you calling anti-Zionist? And there's this fascinating debate about who's a Zionist. And here we are, 120 years after the establishment of the World Zionist Organization by Herzl, and we're still debating who's a Zionist. It's it's inspiring, despairing at the same time.
Oh, that's beautifully put. I just want to pick up on something you said. It just strikes me as so bizarre because I saw this yesterday jump out at me. I was watching Dan Senor have an event in New York City attended by Amit Segel and Nadav Eyal. And he commented on the fact that here were two Israeli journalists who basically bite each other's head off when they're interviewed on the Israeli press in Hebrew, but are behaving so beautifully and so politely to each other in English. And there's something about the language that apparently makes them behave differently.
Yes, we need you. We need you over here to temper our flame.
I thought it was just so unbelievably interesting. Okay, so that's a fascinating development that you've spoken to us about the World Zionist Congress. The other issue that is making the news that we haven't discussed much here in South Africa is the issue of the new draft law, the big controversy surrounding it.
Yes, and it's going to have very tangible consequences tomorrow. The Haredi public are... the Haredi factions are planning a 1 million man protest in Jerusalem tomorrow against a new initiative to legislate the exemption of some yeshiva students from the army, but to also apply the draft to others, namely those who are not students. You see, the whole argument for not enlisting was that the yeshiva boys, they are contributing in another way by prayer to the security of Israel. But the problem is that of those 80,000 people who get an exemption each year. About a quarter, according to some estimates, are really not studying in yeshiva, but working part-time or full-time in the market, usually the black market. And so not only cheating the system, but also not paying income tax, a real dirty business. So the non-Haredi parties, they came to the Haredim and they told them, listen, you've got to send those boys in. I mean, you can have maybe the yeshiva students, but those draft dodgers, they have got to go in. No more monkey business. And believe it or not, this is what the fight is about, because Shas, their council of the sages of the Torah, their higher spiritual committee, they came out and incredibly, a few months ago, they said, no, also the ones who don't study in yeshiva, they're not going to the army. And at the basis of this is a fear.
What basis?
No basis. They're not explaining it, but we know that behind this is the fear that anyone from the Haredi world who enters the army will leave it secular. Will leave it chiloni. So, and that means less voters, fewer voters, and that means fewer budgets, and the leadership can't afford it. But I don't want to be too pessimistic, because as this is happening in the Haredi world, there is another trend that's happening, and that's the weakening of the centralized rabbinical power.
Interesting.
This is not the 1990s anymore. You know, what the chief rabbis, what the big yeshiva heads say, doesn't apply across the board. There's much more flexibility. There's more nuance within the Haredi world, and also disobedience. As the authority of the great rabbis kind of dissipates, and this could be the hope, the absence of centralization, this could be the hope to new solutions. But we have to give it time, and for now we have to kind of grin and bear as Jerusalem prepares to be barricaded for hours on end tomorrow in this mass protest.
One last issue I'd love to raise with you this afternoon. This is a story that's making the aggregating sites like Times of Israel. This is about moves made to strip the Attorney General of her powers. Is this the judicial reform coming back in a different form?
Well, the judicial reform, as it pertained to the actual judiciary, is kind of being put on hold. But there is a move on gatekeepers, as we call them here, Shomrei Saf, the unelected bureaucracy who say they maintain, their version of it is they maintain norms of order, law and order, and the opposition, or rather the coalition, says, yes, but on what basis? How can you overrule the decision of the government? And so now on the elected officials. And now the move is to remove those gatekeepers. We saw it with Ornen Bar, the head of the Shin Bet, who was dismissed despite an outcry and claims that his replacement with David Zini was anti-constitutional. Never mind, we don't have a constitution, but you know what I mean. The big prize for the coalition, for Netanyahu, is the attorney general, but not only her, but the many advisors, the legal advisors, the attorney generals, her delegates in the various cabinet ministries. And that's because they have the power to prevent policy from taking place. They began their role as an advisory capacity, and now there's a feeling, at least among their opponents, that they have taken on the executive role without the responsibility and accountability that come with it. And this is very dangerous, because the shall we call them liberal or at least anti-Netanyahu forces have made it clear that Gali Barav-Miara, the attorney general, is a cornerstone of their gatekeeping, of maintaining law and order as they see it. And if she is fired, dismissed, then all hell may break loose. We're talking about strikes. We've seen a general strike over similar matters in recent months, and you know, civil disobedience, basically. So, well, again, we're on thin ice here.
Knan, as always, thank you for your time. I'm sure we'll chat again soon.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.